Amen. Let's go over to, you go to John 4. Go over to John 4 and meet the woman at the well over there. And I'm going to read to you 2 Corinthians 3:17. So be sure and listen to this verse while you're going over to John, okay? Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Got that? Yes. The Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. That's the NIV version. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is exemption from the power of control of another. Okay? Yeah. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's exemption from the power or control of another. I want to talk to you today about true kingdom worship and how it involves the Spirit, which in His presence there is freedom. And I want you to understand that I'm not talking about those first four songs of the church service. I'm talking about your life of worship. Certainly in the congregation, but just your life of worshiping God. I heard a really smart preacher Friday night say that worship is a weapon. And I agree with that. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So look at John 4:5, and we're going to walk you through a very wonderful place so that you can be set free and you can help others be set free. John 4:5, eventually he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jesus is headed from Jerusalem to Galilee. He goes through Samaria. The Samaritans were the Kuthians. They formerly belonged to Persia and Media, that area. Not Medea, Media. Okay. And so I don't know how people really say it. I say Media, but their way was this. This is how the Samaritans thought, okay? I want you to get into their thinking. When the Jews had good times, the Samaritans claimed that they were kin to the Jews. Okay? When times were bad, they claimed they were not kin to the Jews. It's kind of like your kin folks, right? No, I'm kidding. Praise the Lord. Now look at verse 6. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water and Jesus said to her, please give me a drink. So now the woman came and Jesus is asking her for a drink. Verse 8, he was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, you are a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink? Why would a Jew ask a Samaritan? Now, this is what we're going to see. We're going to watch Jesus move this woman into a place of freedom and receiving and even into ministry. Watch him walk her into this. Number one, the first thing that we see here is that Jesus has to deal with prejudice. Okay. You see it? Okay. You're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan. Mm-hmm. I'm black. You're white. I'm Mexican. You're white. I'm Mexican. You're whatever else race there is. Asian. Seems that we have a lot of that in the world today. Still the Jews are, oh, you're a Jew. Yeah, come on. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of prejudice in the world. I don't think prejudice, though, is just linked to ethnic groups. I think there are people who were raised in certain denominations that are prejudiced against other types of ministries. Amen. I think there are people prejudiced against a certain bank. They could be prejudiced against Coca-Cola or Brother Jerry says Coca-Cola. People could be, you could be prejudiced and like, not like something. Whatever the case though, in this case it was ethnic. She had to get past that. Would you agree that we have to get past that? I think about Moses. Moses married a black woman. And Aaron and Miriam get very upset. Now they're prophets. All three of them are prophets. But Moses is a friend of God. We talked about this Wednesday night. Moses is a friend of God, so God just take care of Aaron and Miriam. Because God doesn't have a problem with Moses and his wife. Right. The people did. Right. Yeah. So I'm going to make a statement to you and tell you the truth about interracial marriage right now. Are you ready for it? I'm going to tell you right now what the Bible says about interracial marriage. Right. Can you handle it?
Yes.
Three words, four words, not one form thing. Nothing. There's nothing in there about that. That totally came out of prejudice. It just came out of prejudice. And then we have this person not wanting to hear or speak to someone because they were of another race. So she had to be delivered from prejudice. So if you have to be delivered from prejudice, just do it right now. I don't want no white woman telling me what to do. That's prejudice. Not going over there because they prophesy. Well, I'll get down to that in a minute. Verse 10, Jesus replied, if you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water. But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket, she said. This well's very deep. Where would you get this living water? Number two, he had to deal with her carnality. So first he had to deal with her prejudice. Now he's dealing with her carnality. Do you know what carnality, you know what carnal is? It's carne. It's meat. Brother Copeland says you're a meathead. I mean, this is what it means. It means people that are only thinking with their five senses. They're only believing what they can see. There's no rope here. You can't get any water. You can't get, no, that can't happen because you can see there's no provision here. You can't do that. You just can't do that because there's no provision here. Really? He's not even talking about that. But she's in her carnal thinking. She's in her five senses. And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob? Oh, who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed? So number three, he's dealing with pride. Number one, he's dealing with prejudice. Number two, he's dealing with carnality, just the five senses, no spirit things, just five senses. And number three, he's dealing with pride. My granddaddy did this. You don't know what you're talking about. We do it this way. Jesus replied, anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water that I will give them will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. Now you know why we're always talking about wells and rivers in the Spirit. Please, sir, the woman said, give me this water, then I'll never be thirsty again and I won't have to come here to get water. Jesus said, go and get your husband. He told her, go get your husband. Jesus told her, I don't have a husband, the woman replied. Jesus said, you're right, you don't have a husband, for you've had five husbands and you aren't even married to the man you're living with now. You certainly spoke the truth. And then the woman said, you must be a prophet. So tell me, why is it that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship while the Samaritans claim it's here at Mount Gerizim where our ancestors worshiped? So what we see is Jesus talking a little more to her, to calls out the thing about the five husband deal. And she says, I perceive you are a prophet. So now he's dealing with a religious barrier. Because we worship here and y'all worship there. Then he begins to talk about faith. Jesus replied, "Believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it'll no longer matter whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. It won't matter. It's not going to matter. Well, we do it over here and we do it this way and y'all don't do it this way. And my mom, I can't leave my church because grandma's buried out in the back at the cemetery and all my family always went here and I gotta be where my family is. Da, 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 da. Well, the man I admired the most told me that there's no such thing as blah, blah, blah. Well, you might want to change your mind about the man who loved you the most. Because you may have loved him the most, but perhaps he doesn't know everything. Praise the Lord. You Samaritans, verse 22, you Samaritans know very little about the one you worship. Well, we Jews know all about him, for salvation comes through the Jews. But the time is coming indeed, it's here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. For God is spirit. Say that, God is spirit. For those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. He's called Christ, who's called Christ, the anointed one and his anointing, the Messiah. Amen. Jesus said, I'm the Messiah. I'm the Messiah. Listen. The barriers came down right there. When Jesus started talking about spirit, barriers came down. Amen. The prejudice came down. The carnality came down. The pride came down. The religion came down when spirit got involved. When he said, I am, she started getting it. And she got excited about it. And it started changing her life. But I want you to notice he did have to walk through this with her. Just like you'll have to walk through some folks. Or maybe Jesus is walking through this with you. Pride. Religion. Carnality. Amen. Whatever the case is, when you get to spirit and truth, life changes. Amen. Yes. It changes when you get to spirit. I guess you've noticed that for the past weeks, I've been driving this thing about spirit. 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 God is spirit. God is spirit. The spirit realm. Holy Spirit. Driving that into you so that you'll have breakthrough. Because you're not going to have breakthrough by tuning in carnally. You can sit here and hear this with your brain till the cows come home. And it won't do you any good. But if you can pick it up in your spirit, you will have a changed life. God is spirit. He's spirit. And he's not worried about a thing. He talked about spirit. She talked about Messiah. Did you pick that up? Yeah. They're talking along there and he says, well, one day you'll worship spirit and truth. Oh, he's talking about spirit. She talked about Messiah. She got a clue there. She had a breakthrough right there. She absolutely had a breakthrough right there. Amen. How dare we play down the operations of the spirit to make visitors more comfortable in the church. How dare we do that? Because life with God is about spirit. because that's what he is. Amen. Jesus is a man. He's a spirit man. There is a man in the Godhead. Amen. But Holy Spirit and Father are still in spirit form. The thing about Holy Spirit is he's here in this realm, but he's also in you, the born again believer, and he can come up on you. He's like, wow, awesome. Amen. Amen. This is how you're going to win. This is how you're going to get ahead. This is how you're going to break barriers. We are to worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And we read earlier, church, think about this. Get the message. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is liberty. There's freedom. God is a spirit. We should worship him in spirit and in truth. We know what truth is. Jesus said the word is the truth. So if the word is the truth and the word's telling us, what did the word himself tell us? He said, I'm sending the Spirit and he'll guide you. I'm giving you another comforter. And this comforter will actually be your GPS.
Yes. Glory to God.
Your glory positioning system. Your grace positioning system. Your geographical positioning system. Everything you need, Holy Spirit is. So we see Jesus says the word is the truth. And listen, we know that the word of God is the truth. It keeps us anchored. This is what keeps us from becoming bad cereal. Flakes, fruits, and nuts. It's true. You know, that granola stuff. It's not Fruity Pebbles. Just playing. This will keep you straight. I love what you said about this is our contract. It made me, I think I'm going to go in the back of mine and sign it. I mean, my name's in the front, but I think I'll just sign it in the back and say, this is my contract. It's good, isn't it? So this is the truth and this will keep you anchored, but this is all about spirit. Everything it's saying in here. Can I give you a clue? Guess who wrote this? Spirit wrote this. Holy Spirit wrote this. What about spirit? Jesus worshiped in Jerusalem. Samaritans worshiped in the mountain. And some of the commentaries say there that Jesus was saying this. It doesn't matter where you worship. You can worship anywhere. Just do it. And certainly I would think that 1 Timothy agrees with that when it says, I would therefore that men pray everywhere lifting up holy hands. Well, what's up with this? Just for newbies, what's up with raising hands? You know what that means? And it means, well, surrender is good, but the actual meaning is I signed the contract.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm in covenant. And I lift my hands to you saying, I'm in covenant with you. It's kind of like when you shake hands and make a deal. But you're lifting both hands to God. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, lifting up holy hands. So it seems that no matter where we are, we can worship God. You can worship God anywhere. So in the spirit then, is that a state of mind? Well, let me just start this way and we'll walk down the trail. We know here what not to do. We will not worship God with ceremonial observances because it does absolutely no good. We don't need a ceremony. Amen. I will say this. After living in the charismatic world for a long, long, long time, sometimes I go to some of the more formal churches, the more formal denominations, and when I hear their readings and their replies, and so you know where I'm going there, man, I can get a whole lot out of it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
But you have to not get ceremonial about it to where you're just carnally doing that. Okay. Now, so Old Testament worship was clouded and clogged because it was just, this is what we do. We go in here and we do this. So just do your duty and just go do this and then you can just leave. There's a lot of denominations like that. And I'm not trying to condemn anyone. It's just that they got on this little rotation in life where they just go to church just to say they went to church and feel better about themselves. They think they're earning God's love, but you can't earn God's love. He already loves you. He's already paid the price. You're already okay.
Amen.
Kind of had a rough 3 days this week. And last night, evening, I went into my closet and I said, you know what, Lord? You're right about everything. You are right about everything. And I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And I'm wrong about a lot of things. That's just so freeing. He loves me and I'm righteous because Jesus paid. Amen. So I'm not going to earn love. I'm not going to be earning any kind of love from God. He loves me. I could earn some respect by my stewardship. And I could earn some friendship by my worship and intimacy. If you want to call it earning. I don't call it that. But you want to look at it that way. Are y'all okay with this?
Yeah.
And what we would say is that we worship God. It's worship is of the heart. Wouldn't we say that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I feel the Cliff story coming. Yeah. Glory to God.
Yeah.
Y'all like that, don't you?
Yeah.
God is a spirit, and if we're going to make a connection with the great infinite spirit, then we must worship in spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to do that. Yeah, you do. One word. Yield. Instead of, Lord, thank you, Jesus. I'm praising you. Glory to God. I just all, and then, no. Lord, thank you, Jesus. I love you. You are the object of my best affection. I adore you, Lord. I love you, Papa. I love you. You yield. Just like you yield to a person when you know why people don't want to tell people they love them? Pride. You yield to someone when you say, I sure do love you. And I sure do love you. Amen. God is a spirit. It's not Jerusalem. It's not the mountain. But I do want to submit this to you. It is a place. The spirit in spirit is a place. Praying and worshiping in the spirit is a place. God is spirit realm. And if you're going to worship him in spirit, you're going to have to get in spirit. Well, Pastor, you sure are driving this and you're just slow. Yeah, I am. I've just slowed way down. And I want you to leave today knowing that you can worship God in spirit. And you're going to get to where you got to get out of that thinking. Remember, we just talked about that thinking. Amen. What happens when you're doing this? You find it in Isaiah 60 verse 1. It says, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. What's it talking about? It's talking about first and foremost, get yourself to another level. The glory of God is here for you. And if you'll go read that, you'll find out all this stuff starts coming in. All this stuff starts happening when you arise to another level. What are you talking about level? I'm talking about spirit level. I'm talking about putting your flesh down, using your mouth to get out of the soulless realm into the spirit realm and worshiping God where things can be moved.
Yes. That's good.
Thank you for your enthusiasm, Deb and Patty. The woman at the well had issues, prejudice, pride, carnality, religion. She received a breakthrough when Jesus talked about spirit, because barriers come down, burdens are removed, yokes are destroyed, then revival starts happening. Well, Lord, we've just been waiting for a revival for so long. Well, what are you waiting for? Because it's all about the Spirit. Well, what if we just get too far out there? And we just... We won't. We have this. And you've got me. I don't mean that in that I'm somebody. I mean that I have the shepherd's hook. And I can say, whoop, 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 come back in here a little bit. Come here. Come here. Get off the chandelier. Get down. Get down. Come off there. Patty, get off the floor. Stop rolling. I'm kidding. You can roll on the floor if you want to, Patty. I don't care. I just want to encourage you in the time of worship, not just to sing songs. I'm not talking about just here. I'm talking about all, or just standing there. Well, Pastor Deb sounds pretty good. Where's Jesse? Where's that other voice? Who's that other voice singing in here? What's going on? Did he hit a bad note on that guitar? Man, where I came from, things were so much better. We were so much more sophisticated where I came from. Well, you're not where you came from. Go ahead and break that barrier, because that's called what? One of those things we just talked about. Pride or religion or prejudice or whatever. Well said. Probably all of those. See, that's the sin of preference. We're talking about God here. I didn't know we were going to go this way. You know, when you get in a car on the way home, you start picking the service apart. You lost everything you might have gotten. Well, I didn't like that, and I didn't like this. There are probably something I'll say that you won't like. But, well, probably not. Not y'all. But the truth is that our praise and worship team all have hearts to worship. That's the main thing. Our sound team has the heart to do the job the best they can. Are we perfect? No. Will we get better? Absolutely. But we get better when there's not a reel going on behind us talking about how negative, talking negative things. Church, be a good finder. Be for us. Don't be against us. Be for us. I'm going to be for you. You be for me. Well, I'd rather go to a church where they dress up a little more than y'all do. If you look across this room, there's every flavor. Just sit by the person you like and we'll be okay. We can have the sophisticated section, redneck section, whatever y'all want to do. I'm making fun, but you know, there are people who will not, they know they need to get word. They know they need to be in spirit, but they're not going to come because it's a woman pastor or because the people don't dress the way they want them to, or they talk in that tongue too much. I'm going to listen to this myself. That's cute. What will my friends think if I go over there? Pretty soon they'll be coming over here with you if you just be bold enough to break the barriers. Now, so I just want to encourage you too that when we come into here, that we come in and we enter the courts like we should. This sanctuary should not be a place of business. This, in fact, we're not going to have another entrepreneur class in this sanctuary. We'll be moving it back there. As soon as I sat down in here, my spirit yesterday went, whoop, this is not right. This is a place of spirit. When we come through those doors, we start honoring God. Coffee shop's the fellowship area. You come in here and you start honoring God. And you start, it's not that that particular class is not honoring God. It's just not about all the things that need to go that way. Okay. Well, I don't like that. Well, you'll get over it. Now, so we're not going to just sing songs. What happens when we worship is we bring on then this corporate anointing. We bring on an anointing that God can move in and then he can do miracles. And that's what we're looking for. We're looking for miracles. It requires some respect. It does. It requires some respect. You know, y'all getting sleepy on me? Everybody good? Okay. So it requires some respect for the anointing. Now, I understand that if you're dealing with some carnality and just some of your flesh, that you could actually walk in this room and not tell that there is some anointing left over from the last meeting. But I can tell. That's why I want to shift things around a little bit. In the little church, you could walk in that little old scrappy little building and it was like you were in waist deep water in there. You'd go in and you would go, wow. Wow. It's interesting in here. You know, people would just come in and they would be able to move past prejudice, move past pride, move past religion. Why? Because spirit was taking place. Do you see where I'm headed to? Do you see where I'm going? That we create a carpet anointing that Jesus can come in here, that the Spirit of God can move, that the glory can fall so much that the room is so saturated that the presence of God, you can still tell.
Yes.
Have you ever known someone who wears very nice perfume and after they walk by, you can still smell them and you keep going, yeah, so good. It's so good. And you can just smell. That's what God does. He comes in and he smells up the room. Well, I don't smell anything. Well, see, but you're trying to smell with this. But you have spiritual senses and you can actually pick up what God is doing. This is getting better all the time. You can pick up what God is doing. And that's why we want to reverence this place. This place by itself isn't holy. You are. But at the same time, the leftovers. The residual. Yeah, I'll say that. Sometimes your clothes will have a residual of the anointing on them. And you'll go back and when you pick them up to take them to the cleaners or something, you'll pick them up and go, look at there. Some of you are looking at me like, I have no idea what you're talking about. How many of you do? You do? You get it? Okay. So that's going to happen to you. It's scriptural. Do you remember when they would take handkerchiefs and I was doing a glow over at Canyon Lake and this lady came in, oh, my daughter's dying. She's in the bed right now. Her kidneys don't work. She's got diabetes. She's shutting down. She couldn't come and she's not saved. She's going to die. I said, she's not going to die. Give me that sweater. We prayed on that sweater. The anointing was on that sweater. She went home. She threw it on her daughter on the bed. The daughter got up. She was healed and she got born again. Hallelujah. And she's, as far as I know, she's alive today.
Hallelujah.
The anointing can be transferred however it needs to be. Whether it's with the laying on of hands, a handkerchief, a prayer quoted in the spirit. There's a lot of ways, but it's in spirit, church. It's in spirit. Praise the Lord. The Bible says that Adam worked with God in the cool of the day. That's not the translation. He worked, he walked with him in the spirit of the day. He was walking, and that's what God wants you to do. When you're not here, when you're, go walk with God in the spirit of the day. Take time to get over into the spirit. Lord, I don't have enough time. I gotta grab my Pop-Tart. I'm out the door and I don't, I know about this. We're busy. We're busy. I don't know if I have enough time. Find some time, even if it's 3 o'clock in the morning, whenever it is, to stop and say, hey, Papa. Hey, Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. And you'll be surprised at the response you'll get. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. When you move and flow in the spirit, that's when there's kingdom action. You're in that realm. Now, what you think about this is we're gonna come down here and close. This is what I mean by there's kingdom action. When you sow things into the realm, y'all understand that? We're farmers. We sow words. We sow words of worship. We sow singing. We sow financially. We actually sow, maybe I need to talk about that to give you a better picture, but when you sow financially into the realm, you're speaking words. Are you? Danny just spoke a whole confession over you that went into your account. It went into the ground if you took it. Everybody that said amen, every word that Pastor Danny said about you went into the ground of your spirit. Now, when you gave on that word, which is what we're doing, or when you take your tithe, when you tithe, you shouldn't go mail that off or blah, 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 I do mine on the text to give. And just, you should say, Lord, thank you that you've taken me out of the kingdom of darkness and brought me into the kingdom of your dear son. Right now I have tither's rights. I am totally blessed. The windows of heaven are open. That's why I say the same verses to you all the time. So they get stuck in there. Okay. But what happens is the actual dollars or the amounts or whatever, that's the hull. The seed is the word. And that word goes into the kingdom. And guess what happens when it goes into the kingdom? It comes back and produces things. Yes. Word and thing are the same word in Hebrew. It's called devar. It's the same word. A word is a thing. Everybody close your eyes. Dog. You see one? Big, black, curly dog. You see a different dog?
Yeah.
Okay, now look at this one. Small, white, chubby puppy. You see another one?
Yeah.
Keep your eyes closed. Check, book, 1 million.
Yeah.
See it?
Yeah.
You see it? Do you see? Keep your eyes closed. Dear whoever you are, your house is paid in full. Stamp paid in full. You see it? Do you see it? You see it? That's what happens in the spirit realm. You can open your eyes now. Whatever happens, you are so obedient. You see it? Whatever you sow into the kingdom, it does two things. It'll come back in things, or it'll come back in multiplication. Amen. And it will come back in, it'll be multiplied to you.
Yes.
It'll be multiplied to you. When something is spoken into the kingdom realm, it has to come back out.
Yes.
It comes back out as a harvest. So when you worship God, these words are sown into the kingdom, and they turn into things. Amen. When you sow tangible things in the kingdom, a real thing, of course, then you're going to get back something that you have been believing for. If you sow words, you're going to get multiplication on those words. Worship returns more. You worship, more comes back. Amen. You worship. Here's your statement. Healing is the multiplication of goodness in energy. Healing is the multiplication of goodness in energy that drives the curse or virus out of your body. Healing, you getting it? Healing is the multiplication of goodness. It's a whole lot of goodness speeded up that will drive whatever needs to be driven out of your body. Woo, feel that? It'll drive it out. The light and the life of the Zoe life of God, driving it out. That's what healing is. Healing will come in multiplication form. It'll drive it out. It drives out cancer, drives out diabetes, drives out high blood pressure, drives the flu away, drives the COVID away, all those things. What you sow into the kingdom is always going to come back to you. Worship is sowing honor. Worship is sowing honor. Worship is sowing honor and respect to God, our Father, His Son Jesus, and what you honor will respond to you. The woman at the well had some breakthroughs. She came through prejudice, through pride, through carnality, and through religion. She broke through because of the spirit realm that Jesus introduced. Why don't we practice this? You just got out of your car. You're walking into the store. You're walking to the bank. You're walking into wherever you're going. How about you're walking into the church? And right before you put your hand on that handle, you just stop and go, Lord Jesus, thank you. And when you walk through that door, you'll begin to make a difference in people's lives. Someone will be touched. Instead of, get out of my way, I gotta get to my seat. Are you in my seat? Y'all, I gotta get through this HEB. There's Loopy on that aisle. Okay, I don't have time to talk. Come on. Oh, praise the Lord. Matthew 13:33 says another parable spoke, he unto them. Yes, Lord. The kingdom of heaven is likened to leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Leaven changes or assimilates the dough into its own nature. Is that right? Everybody, all the bakers here agree with that? Notice the woman took it. It was hidden. You can't see spirit. You can't see the leaven. It's hidden. But it's going to cause people to break through their religion when spirit's on you. There's no need in arguing. There's no need in trying to pass out apologetics to a lot of people. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I'm just saying there is another level. The level is that you're so full of the Spirit that people notice it, that when they try to argue with the prejudice and the carnality and the religion and the pride, that they can't because you're in Spirit. Come on, church. Kills the argument. Leaven changes or assimilates the dough in its own nature. Notice the woman took it. It was hidden. You can't see it, but it changes everything. You can't see it, but it changes everything. It's the unseen that will change the seen. It is the unseen that will change the seen. It's the kingdom that will change someone's life. It's the power of the Holy Spirit, the love of the Father, the redeeming blood of Jesus that changes us and protects our lives. That's what it is. You can't see the blood of Jesus, but it's been poured out for you, and it's in light form. What do I mean by light form? I mean light speed up form. It's in another dimension, but it's here, and it's yours. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I will, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Cliff was broke. Cliff lived in Hawaii. Cliff went to church. On the way to church, he was remembering that he had to borrow peanut butter and bread from his neighbor to feed his children. He had no money. He had nothing, no business, nothing's working. He goes to church and there's a guest speaker that day. Y'all know even when I'm 90, I'm going to be telling y'all this story, right? He said, the guest speaker was Norval Hayes. And Norval Hayes preached on faith and did all these things. And when it was over, he went up to Norval Hayes. He said, what am I going to do? I'm broke. Don't even know what I'm supposed to do. Norval Hayes called on his armor bearer and he said, show him what to do. And that guy dropped down on his knees and said, Lord, I worship you. I worship you, Jehovah Jireh. I worship you, Jehovah Nisi. I worship you, Jehovah Sitkanu. I worship you, Jehovah Mekadesh. If you don't know what these mean, you can look them up. I worship you, Lord of Lords, King of Kings. Oh my God. And he just worships and worships and worships. Norval says, do that in your house. Worship God in your house. So Cliff goes home and he had some kind of little mantle. I don't know if Hawaii has too many fireplaces, but he had some kind of mantle and he would find a nickel or something and every day he would worship God and he would drop down and he'd do just what that armor bearer did every day. 6 weeks later, nothing had changed. He kept doing it. Another 6 weeks goes by. And then he gets a phone call. Hey, is this Cliff so-and-so? Yeah. I like this story because it's my dad's name. He says, Cliff, you still got that heavy equipment? Yeah, it's here. Yeah. Well, I need to hire you for how many weeks? What, seven, wasn't it? 7 weeks. I need to hire you for 7 weeks. I'll pay you $80,000. At that time, this was pretty good. And he says, do you have time on your schedule to do it for me? And Cliff goes, well, let me check. I believe I have time. So Cliff does 7 weeks worth of work and gets paid $80,000. At the end of that time, he's still worshiping God. At the end of that time, the man says, I have 7 more weeks. Another $80,000. I'll do it. After that, 7 more weeks, another $80,000. After that, 7 more weeks. And Cliff ended up being the biggest tither in that church. And when Norval Hayes, in one year, that's important. Thank you for reminding me. In 1 year. Did you hear me?
Yes.
In one year. Worship God in your house. In spirit.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Well, you know, I don't know, my family doesn't like it. Well, go out in the car then. And they'll come in and knock on, Daddy, what are you doing? Go away, I'm worshiping God. Either that or get in here with me and we're going to do it together.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Church, worship God in your house and depression will leave.
Yes.
Anger will leave. Problems will leave. Debt will leave. Finances will come. Peace will come. And bodies will be healed. Do you receive this? Thank you for it, Lord. Father, we worship you right now. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Let's stand up and worship God for a moment. You close your eyes and just worship God before we leave here. Close your eyes. Worship God. No one looking around. Just worship God. Lord, we worship you. I give you glory. Thank you, Lord. Father, under this canopy of love that you have given us, we worship you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you that we can all stand up, Lord. Thank you that we can all receive our healing today. Thank you, Lord, that we all got here in good cars. We all live in good homes. Our bills are paid. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that we can expect to upgrade, just like Cliff upgraded. But Father, we love you. We praise you. We would worship you even if nothing changed, because you have done everything for us. But we thank you, Lord, that the truth is it's a law that you always respond to worship. And so I worship you, Lord, King of kings, Lord of lords, holy God, holy God, Lord God of the universe. Thank you, Lord. Blessed art thou, O Lord God of the universe, maker of heaven and earth. You have been so good to us. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. In Jesus' name. Did you open your mouth and say something? Can you talk? Try it again. Lord, I thank you. No one looking around. Thank you, Lord. I worship you out loud. I worship you. I worship you. I worship you, Lord, and I praise you. I give you glory. Thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I hear the Lord responding already. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead. Go ahead. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Most High God. Most High God, I worship you. I love you, Lord. I love you. I love you. I thank you, Lord. Thank you for heaven. Thank you for earth. Thank you for fulfillment of your promise. Thank you, Lord, for it. Thank you for that contract that we all have with you. The covenant that we have with you. In Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you, Lord.